John Alexander started this during the 60s. There was a lot of commercial diving going on, but people were starting to see the trend that it was being overfished. It was starting to be more regulated. Closures of the season in order to allow the natural population to reproduce and replenish, but even then it still wasn't enough because abalone were really slow growing. It takes us 4 to 6 years to get a crop. We estimate that our farm is responsible for well over 50% of abalone grown in the U.S.
I'm Tom Wilmer. Right now we're in Cayucas, California. We're at the abalone farm with Brad Buckley. I remember the old ab divers, and I remember seeing mountains of abalone shells out in Highway 41 coming into Morro Bay. And that's all history. There really is a negligible amount of native abalones out in the ocean today, right?
Well, red abalone population has dropped. You can't dive for them anymore in our area. You can still dive for them in Northern California, North Coast. Some of the native species that grow off the coast here are now on the endangered species list. The white abalone, which was one of the first and more popular species to be used in the commercial diving for abalone steaks, white abalone, that's on the endangered species list. And now the black abalone is on the endangered species list. Luckily, the reds are not. They're still out there.
But there's no commercial diving for abalone on the Central Coast.
No, there's no diving at all from the Bay Area all the way down.
So it's really more Mendocino area?
It's still sport diving and it's strictly regulated. And I believe the new fishing wildlife regulations for an annual take is 12 abalone per person, which is dropped from the previous year. And I don't know if people are aware of it, but the red abalone population on the North Coast, which has been the most plentiful, is even in danger there. I don't know if you heard, but you know, they had a big die-off of the kelp forest the past couple of years.
You rely on kelp as your food source for the abalone, correct?
Sure do. And whatever we have growing in our tanks, the one thing that makes our farming operation unique compared to other abalone farming operations here and in other parts of the world. Abalone are traditionally, you know, an intertidal down to kind of a deep water species. And so they rely on the natural kelps and seaweeds that grow. Now, a lot of the farms want to grow them where the outside of the shell stays clean, free of algae growth and other things.
And why do they choose to do that?
Well, the outside of the shell, regardless of the species, is usually a beautiful color.
So it's appearance and
it's appearance. Visual, yeah. And so if you're selling them into a live market, you want them to look nice in a live holding tank at the customer's facility. So what we do different, we're growing them in outdoor tanks, replicating a tide pool environment. So as a result, we have a lot of growth on the shells, which is just like a native wild abalone would be anyway.
Right now we're standing next to what, a half acre of concrete tanks with abalone in them, and just a moment ago the pumps went on. Is that to replicate a tidal action?
It sure is. It helps replicate the wave action and keeps the oxygen content up in the seawater, and it does. It makes them feel at home and quite in the natural environment.
In front of us here are these concrete tanks, and they're bubbling. We can't see the bottom, but there are baby abalones in like little net bags in there?
No, they're actually free, kind of roaming around within the tanks and attached to the walls. You can see that the tanks are divided into these cubicles. However, those concrete cubicles, they're open along the bottom of the tank, so the abalone can crawl up and over or down below and around, search for food. Not only are they feeding on the kelp that we harvest offshore from the farm, but they're feeding on the natural algae, and some seaweeds grow naturally in these tanks too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you don't have to rely on harvesting out in the ocean 100%.
No, we don't. If there's an issue with with going and getting a kelp harvest for feed, it's not a critical thing because they start grazing on whatever is growing in the tanks.
And your kelp harvester, I think the ocean rose?
Yes, that's correct.
I watch it come and go in and out of the docks in Morro Bay every week, it seems.
Yeah, we harvest about 2 to 3 times a week, just depending on the season.
So you have to keep a fresh supply all the time.
Right, sure do. We put it in there. Now, we won't add any more kelp until they eat all that is in the tanks. And you can see a little bit of the stem still floating around in the tank. We won't put any more kelp in these tanks until all of this is gone, which is probably about another day or two. We feed according to, you know, just visual. When they're eating at a rapid pace, we might harvest a little bit more at a rapid pace and replace, put more kelp in. But it all depends on the season, too. They eat less during the winter time. They eat more during the summer and the fall time, which coincides with the availability of the kelp in it.
You have 2- and 3-inch PVC piping throughout. And we look in the background, there's a giant pump house with, they must be, what, 10, 12-inch diameter?
You know what those are?
No.
Those are actually air pipes.
Oh, really?
Our air compressors.
Aeration is...
Yeah.
Oh.
Aeration is just as important as the seawater. Mm-hmm. And we're pumping the seawater from the other opposite end of the farm, and it's flowing through these tanks and right back out in the ocean.
So you have a pipe, an inlet pipe, that's in the ocean.
Right, right. And that's buried under the ground here and comes out and supplies these tanks with fresh seawater all the time. And then that big cinder block building houses our air compressors for keeping the tanks bubbling.
Let's talk about the end use when these critters are fully mature and they're harvested. What's the process? You do all of the harvesting and processing right here.
Sure do. Once to twice a week, harvesting is an ongoing thing, and we harvest all year round. There's product available all year round. It's like a conveyor belt from the time that we spawn the abalone until we're ready to harvest them. So every week, there's a certain group of tanks that are on rotation for harvest. And we have certain sizes that we harvest. The smallest size is going to be a little over 3 inches in shell length. That's going to be a 4-year-old abalone. And then the largest would be maybe close to 5 inches. And that's about as large as we're going to be able to grow them. And that's going to take at least 6 years.
Wow. So that's something that very few people, myself included, would understand and appreciate, that the growing process of abalone requires patience a lot of time.
A lot of patience. And people don't realize those big abalone shells that they...
Yeah, how old would the giant ones be that you see?
Well, just based on what the scientists, researchers know about their growth rates, after 6 years, their shell length no longer corresponds to their age.
Oh, interesting.
So... in order to get like a 5-inch abalone up to a legal size 8-inch abalone, which is a legal size to dive for sport diving, it can vary from 15 to over 20 years, and it just depends on the individual growth rate of that abalone.
And what's the ultimate lifespan of a typical abalone in the wild?
They don't know.
Wow.
They really don't know. They know they'll live for many decades, except they have really no way or have done no tracking to that extent in order to know how what their real lifespan is.
From your time of seeding to full maturation, there are a lot of variables, environmental variables, that you have to deal with. Tell us about some of the variables.
Oh, yes. The more recent ones are, of course, the El Niños that we experience every, 7 years, 5 to 7 years or so. And the most recent one, of course, was a much longer extended period of warmer water that we had never experienced before. You know, we're not doing anything to alter the water temperature.
So you can't mitigate.
No, there's a whole lot more to growing abalone that they respond to in the environment, in the chemical makeup of the seawater, in the water temperature, of course, the nutrition of the food, the algae that's growing that they're feeding on. They're responding to a lot of variables that it's not really well understood yet.
And then let's talk about total when the meat goes out of here. How is it processed and how is it shipped?
Well, we only shut and tenderize about 10 to 12% of our product goes out direct to restaurants, and we have some distributors here locally. There's Giovanni's Fish Market that sells our product also online.
So nationwide, worldwide.
Yes, but our focus of our sales are wholesale. We send a truck to Los Angeles twice a week, and we ship product around the country to our distributors around the country via air cargo.
Is any of it shipped live?
Oh, it's all shipped live. Now, abalone, since they're naturally intertidal creatures, they can survive out of the water for a certain period of time.
So there's no aeration on the styrofoam shipping container?
No. We just weigh out the abalone into bags, and they're placed on these waxed pieces of cardboard to just give them a surface to adhere to, like they would naturally to the rocks or here in the tanks. And we air up that bag, cinch it shut. We put some gel packs in there to keep them cool, seal up the styro in the box, and as long as they arrive within, you know, no more than 36 hours of packaging, just about all of our distributors have live seawater holding tanks. They put them back in the water and they recuperate and they're fine.
Yeah. So they could live on the East Coast somewhere for quite a while before they're consumed.
Yeah, they do.
As anybody knows that tries to order abalone in a restaurant, it's not cheap.
It can be a little pricey. It varies from an appetizer. Might be around $18, entrees upwards, 60 and upwards.
If you went to a fresh fish market or a market to get some abalone, what would a person pay raw?
At a retail seafood shop, live abalone in the shell would cost you maybe around $7 to $8. And then an abalone steak or the meat alone that's already been tenderized, you would probably be paying around something similar, probably around $8 to $10 an ounce.
Oh, wow.
Of course, a big part of the cost is not only the time it takes to grow them, but everything that we grow and ship needs to be shipped overnight. And overnight shipping has not become less expensive over the years either.
Are you the prime provider and supplier of fresh abalone in America, in California?
Yes, we are. We estimate that our farm is responsible for well over 50% of abalone grown in the U.S. Now, there are three other farms along the coast
in California.
In California.
Where are the other ones?
There's one just north of Santa Barbara. There's one in Monterey, and there's one in Davenport, which is just north of Santa Cruz.
And are they comparable size production?
They're not as large as us. We're the largest.
And you're the first?
And we are the first, yeah. The farm was established in the 60s. I'd say we came to this production level that we are currently in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right now it's Sunday, and it's a sleepy day here. In the middle of the week, how many employees would be out here, and what would they be doing?
We have around 32. They'll be working in the tanks. If it's feeding day and we had a load of kelp come in, they'll be chopping and tossing kelp into the tanks. But at some part during the week, usually up to 2 to 3 times a week, they'll be in the tanks harvesting and cleaning and doing tank repairs. in other areas of the farm where we keep the baby abalone, we might be doing some sorting, some size sorting. And people don't realize that abalone do grow at different growth rates, albeit all slow. But every 6 months or so at the juvenile stage being around the size of your fingernail, every 6 months or so we need to size sort, because you don't want the large ones to stay in the tank and crowd out the small ones. And they do respond, there's just in their physiology of their growth rates, you don't want them to be crowded. So if you keep like sizes together in the tank, you get a more even growth rate throughout the group.
So they know what's going on around them then?
They do. They really do. They're an interesting creature. They've been around for millions of years, so they are going to do what they have always been doing, and the only way to farm them is to work with them.
Talk to us about the whole seeding and how they start out and how you get the seeds.
Well, they spawn like fish, so they're broadcast spawners. They're male abalone and female abalone.
So right within a tank in front of us, there might be at some point spawning going on. They must be tiny.
They are. They release the eggs and the sperm in the seawater, and fertilization occurs in the seawater. Now, that occurs at around 3 years of age. That's when they're sexually mature and can start reproducing.
How do you know something's going on in the water?
Oh, the water just turns kind of a milky color. So you know a mass spawning is going on. And now we don't use that. What we do is that we have a group of abalone set aside in other tanks that we keep for spawning purposes. And we always spawn with some wild abalone that have been collected from Northern California, because we want to keep the gene pool fresh. We don't want to spawn our abalone over and over and over again.
Get some mutations going on.
Yeah, we don't want that. Get some blue bloods going on. But the abalone, they're microscopic when they're first hatched from the eggs, and they're in a swimming larval stage for about a week, where they remain in buckets of seawater. And after a week, they go through a metamorphosis, and they settle. They're in a swimming larval stage for a week, but they have these little, I guess you could say, like propellers on the front of their shell, like little cilia that propel them through the water. Those drop off after about a week, and they settle. And then they go into our regular hatchery nursery tanks. And after about a few weeks, you begin to see some tiny little specks. They already have developed their shell. We have four sections of the farm. We have the nursery, the hatchery, the baskets, and here we're standing by the grow-out tanks.
How would somebody know they're getting abalone from your farm around California, around America, around the world?
Well, hopefully our suppliers and the end users know the answer to that question.
So they promote and
they might
put your name or your business on the
exactly.
menu.
And as I said, our sales are wholesale based. We don't do any retail direct from the farm, so I really rely on our distributors to do the promoting for us. And, you know, I have distributors that go and represent our product at big seafood shows, like the Boston Seafood Show is a big one that goes on. And then I may end up working with a chef or a distributor at a food and wine show here and there. So that's the way to promote the product, plus just educate the customers that we sell to direct and that I am aware of, in order to give them the information they need to provide their staff. And in fact, here locally, we do staff tours for the restaurants that we sell to in our local
area. So they're
area.
Familiar and talk about it.
Yeah, and it's really eye-opening. I would say most of the serving staff in the restaurants, we're very lucky in this area to have the chefs support the local farms and want to show their staff and their servers, this is where this product is coming from and how it's grown, and you can share that information with our guest at the restaurant when they ask.
And I imagine that Hawaii, the Philippines and Asia would be a huge market.
No, not really.
Oh, really? Interesting.
We don't.
Maybe they don't know about you.
They don't. We don't export anymore. The only export that we're doing and have been doing for the past several years is to Canada, to Vancouver. And it's a very small amount. I tell you, our customer in Vancouver probably only takes maybe about 80, 100 pounds at a time. The rest of it stays here in the States.
Oh, very fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. We used to export a lot over to Asia in the early days when I first started working here. Well, you know.
Competition?
Big time competition. The abalone market basically became overrun with abalone being grown in Korea. Mm-hmm. There are huge aquaculture farms. Now, they're not only growing just abalone, but they're growing all sorts of seafood, finfish. And they're a big player in the world market as far as supplying live seafood. And in fact, we're seeing live abalone from Korea here in the U.S. Now, not here in California. You can't import live abalone, non-native species, into California. But other states in the U.S.
Is that environmental species issues or what?
Yeah, it would be the invasive species. You would not want a non-native species of abalone to get into our coastal waters by accident and start reproducing. It's a big concern, and I think a lot more effort is being placed into keeping the invasive species out. One thing that I tell people constantly, one thing I want you to take away from this is to remember that there are many different species of abalone. And if you see abalone on a menu, that doesn't mean that it's West Coast abalone. It doesn't mean it came from Mexico or California. It could have been grown in some other part of the world.
So how does the consumer know?
Hopefully, wherever they purchase it from will know the answer to that. That's where I have to rely on myself and us and our customers getting the word out and having that knowledge.
Again, back to the restaurateur and the
seafood distributor and knowing and just being aware of it. If you're aware of it, then you're more likely to ask and be curious and maybe even do some research. I mean, visually, there's a difference in a red abalone from a green abalone. From, a lot of abalone is coming in from Australia and New Zealand. The shell is different. It's a different color. It's a different look. So just do a little research before you start buying abalone.
And so for the savvy connoisseur, what do you look for? What do you want? What do you want to order?
If you want a local grown or at least a U.S. grown abalone, then it's going to be a red abalone. It's going to be grown in California. And if you hear California grown, then it's going to be a safe bet that it was grown here. Now, if it doesn't say California grown or if it doesn't say any information, that's where you start questioning, where did this come from?
You're involved with Monterey Bay Aquarium with their program?
Yes, with the We're on the Seafood Watch. We're on the green, on the good list.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
cool.
Always been working with them. They're a great partner.
This has been wonderful. I could spend all day here. We've been speaking with Brad Buckley at the Abalone Farm on the cliffside of the Pacific Ocean outside of Cayucas, California. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.